Amen. Well, please take your Bibles at this time and turn with me to the book of Judges, chapter 16, Judges 16, verses 23 to 31. And today we're coming to the end of our Samson series, Strong Man Gone Wrong. And as we review the weeks that we've had in this series, you'll remember that Samson had a very promising beginning, right? God gave him everything he needed to succeed. But then he pretty much did everything wrong from that point on. And so things didn't go that well for him. Marriage gone wrong. Vengeance gone wrong. Love gone wrong. Anything that could go wrong for Samson went wrong. Well, today we come to Samson's death, and here is where we see God's purposes finally fulfilled in Samson's life. God's purpose is finally fulfilled in Samson's life. So in Judges 16, we're going to be looking at verses 23 through 31, but for right now, we'll read verses 26 through 28. Please stand with me for the reading of God's word. Samson said to the servant who held his hand, "Put me where I can feel the pillars that support the temple, so that I may lean against them." Now the temple was crowded with men and women. All the rulers of the Philistines were there, and on the roof were about 3,000 men and women watching Samson perform. Then Samson prayed to the Lord, "O sovereign Lord, remember me. O God, please strengthen me just once more, and let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes." This is the word of God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we finish off Samson's story this morning, Lord, I pray that you would help us to take the lessons we've learned in the past weeks and today. And Lord, that every time we think of Samson, that you would help us to remember these things. Speak now to us through your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Well, when we last left Samson, we left him at a cliffhanger, didn't we? Everything looked hopeless. Samson's hair was shaved off. His eyes were gouged out. He was bound with shackles. He'd been set to grinding grain in the prison. Samson was supposed to deliver Israel from the Philistines, and now he's been captured by the Philistines. And so you ask, well, who's going to save Israel now? But we also left last week on a small note of hope. Remember verse 22, the last verse we looked at last week? Verse 22 said, "The hair on his head began to grow again after it had been shaved." Now remember, we said this last week, there is nothing magical about Samson's hair. It's not that he's automatically strong when his hair is long or automatically weak when his hair is short. We learned last week, Samson's hair was the last remaining sign of his vow to the Lord. And when Samson allowed his hair to be cut, we're told the Lord left him. And that's why he lost his strength. Not because he lost his hair, it was because the Lord left him. And when the Lord left him, Samson's strength left him as well. But there's still this note of hope, isn't there? When we get to the end of last week, that cliffhanger, and we read that his hair is beginning to grow back. And you read that, you go, what does that mean? What is that going to mean for Samson? What is that going to mean for the Philistines? What does it mean for God and his purposes? Now you remember, if you go all the way back to our first message in the series, God revealed his purpose for Samson's life before Samson was even born. God says, "I'm raising you up, Samson, to deliver Israel from the Philistines." And as we've seen so far, God has been fulfilling that purpose in Samson's life despite Samson. Not because Samson's obeying him and going out and doing things for God. Samson's doing everything against God. Samson's doing everything wrong. But God has been using the circumstances in Samson's life to set up conflict between Samson and the Philistines. And so when we read that Samson's hair is growing back now, we can expect that God is at work again. One of the key lessons we learn from Samson's life and that we're going to focus on today is that God is going to fulfill his purposes with or without us, folks. You can either get on board or not, but he is going to fulfill his purposes with or without you or me. So in what ways do we see God fulfilling his purposes in this final chapter in Samson's life. That's what we're looking at this morning. There's an outline in your bulletin if you want to take that out to follow along or take notes. But let's get started. In what ways does God fulfill his purposes? First of all, God will not allow his name to be mocked. God will not allow his name to be mocked. He might allow it in the short term. But when all is said and done, God will not allow this to happen. Look at Judges 16 now, where verses 23 and 24. Now the rulers of the Philistines assembled to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to celebrate, saying, "Our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands." And when the people saw him, they praised their God, saying, "Our God has delivered our enemy into our hands, the one who laid waste our land and multiplied our slain." So the rulers of the Philistines, they gather everybody together. They throw this great feast to celebrate their victory over Samson. Remember, they've been fighting Samson for 20 years. And not once did they beat him. Not once. Not when they had him outnumbered 1,000 to 1. Didn't happen. Not when they had him surrounded in the city of Gaza by night. Not when he was tied up with 7 fresh thongs that had not dried, or new ropes that had never been used, or when they had the 7 braids of his hair woven into the fabric of the loom. We looked at all those last week. But now they've got him right where they want him, right? Blind, shackled, shorn of his strength, captive to their wills. They said, let's have a party. Let's celebrate. And they sacrifice to their god, Dagon, and they give him, Dagon, all the praise and the honor. And they say, "Our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands." Now, who does Samson represent? Samson represents Israel and Israel's God. And so the Philistines, when they're celebrating Dagon's victory, what are they doing? They're basically saying, "Our God's stronger than your God," right? Our strong is bigger than Samson's God. And for those of you who know your Bibles, you can probably guess this will not end well for the Philistines. The Lord is not one God among many. He is the one true God. And he will not allow his name to be mocked. Psalm 96 proclaims, "For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise." Not Dagon. Dagon's not worthy of praise. "For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods," lowercase g, "false gods, fake gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols. But the Lord, he made the heavens." God says this in Isaiah 48, verse 11. He says, "For my own sake, for my own sake I do this. How can I let myself be defamed? I will not yield my glory to another." Not Dagon, not anyone. The Philistines didn't defeat the Lord. They defeated Samson. And the only reason they defeated Samson is not because Dagon was stronger than the Lord, but because the Lord left Samson. But God will not allow his name to be mocked, and so things are not going to end well for the Philistines. Notice here also that the Philistines would not be mocking God. They would not be mocking God here if not for Samson and his disobedience. This is all Samson's fault. If Samson had remained true to the Lord, the Philistines would have had no occasion to boast that Dagon was stronger than the Lord. You know, it's bad enough when people mock the name of God or Jesus or take the name of the Lord in vain. But when it's our fault, when it's a result of our actions in the world, that is an occasion of great sorrow and tears. One prayer that I pray frequently is, "Oh Lord, please let me never bring dishonor to your name." I pray that every time I read about another pastor or Christian leader who has fallen into sin and given the world another opportunity to mock the name of God, "There but for the grace of God go I," And we should all guard carefully against bringing dishonor to the name of the Lord. What are some of the ways God fulfills his purposes in this world? The first way is God guards his glory. He guards his honor. He will not allow his name to be mocked. Secondly, God will not allow his people to be mocked. He will not allow his people to be mocked. We see this in verses 25 to 27. While they were in high spirits, they shouted, "Bring out Samson to entertain us." So they called Samson out of the prison, and he performed for them. When they stood him among the pillars, Samson said to the servant who held his hand, "Put me where I can feel the pillars that support the temple, so that I may lean against them." And the temple was crowded with men and women. All the rulers of the Philistines were there. On the roof were about 3,000 men and women watching Samson perform. So the Philistines, they're not only mocking the Lord, they are mocking Samson as well. They're in high spirits. Probably means they're drunk, okay? They're in high spirits. And so they call out, "Bring out Samson to perform for us. We want some entertainment." We're not told exactly what Samson did for entertainment, but I'm guessing they're probably making fun of the fact that he'd lost his strength. They're probably going to bring out heavy things and say, "See if you can lift that, Samson." "Oh, he can't even lift that." Probably loading up heavy carts, saying, "See if you can push that around." He's struggling to push the carts around, probably as they're whipping his back and making him do these things. People are just laughing and laughing at his weakness. This was the Philistines' second big mistake. First big mistake, mocking God. Second big mistake, now they're mocking one of God's people. And God will not allow his people to be mocked. God loves his people. When the Israelites were slaves in Egypt, remember what God said to Moses, Exodus chapter 3, he said, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering, so I have come down to rescue them." I love David's prayer to the Lord in Psalm 17. It says, "Lord, keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings from the wicked who assail me, from my mortal enemies who surround me." You know what the apple of your eye is? It's the pupil, okay? It's the pupil right there in the center of your eye. Very sensitive, very vulnerable part of your body. If anybody has ever poked you in the eye, you know how painful that can be. And anytime an object is approaching your eye, whatever that may be, what do? You instinctively close your eyes, or you turn your head, you cover your face. You will protect your eyes at all costs. Well, the Bible says that you are the apple of God's eye. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that beautiful? It means that when you hurt, God hurts. When someone attacks you, they are attacking God. That's why the psalmist can write this in Psalm 89. He says, "Remember, Lord, how your servant has been mocked, how I bear in my heart the taunts of all the nations. The taunts with which your enemies have mocked, O Lord, with which they have mocked every step of your anointed one." And just as God will not allow his name to be mocked, God will not allow his people to be mocked either. There will be a judgment. There will be an accounting. There will be a rescue. The Philistines called for Samson to come out and entertain them. Big mistake. Samson tells the servant who's holding his hand, he says, "Put me over by the pillars. Put me over the pillars. My hands on them and just feel them and lean against them." Samson's entertaining, right? It's a full house. Standing room only. You've got men and women crowding the temple. You've got all the rulers of the Philistines there, the ones who paid Delilah the 1,100 shekels of silver each. You've got a lot more people up on the roof. The final showdown is about to take place. The Philistines are mocking Samson. And God will not allow his people to be mocked. A third way God fulfills his purposes in this world, it's really more of a statement, that God will fulfill his purposes despite our sin and despite the enemy's attacks. God is going to fulfill his purposes despite your sin and my sin, despite the attacks of the enemy. Back to Judges 16. Now we go to verses 28 through 30. Then Samson prayed to the Lord. Oh, sovereign Lord, remember me. Oh, God, please strengthen me just once more. And let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes. And then Samson reached toward the two central pillars on which the temple stood, bracing himself against them, his right hand on the one and his left hand on the other. Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And then he pushed with all his might, and down came the temple on the rulers and all the people in it. And thus he killed many more when he died than while he lived. And so we see God finally fulfilling his purpose for Samson. He does this in two ways. First of all, he fulfills his purpose in Samson's heart. He fulfills his purpose in Samson's heart as Samson humbles himself before the Lord in prayer. Now remember, this is only the second time out of all of the things about Samson, only the second time we get to see him pray. You notice both times he prayed when he was in trouble. We said that's bad strategy. Don't just pray to God when you're in trouble. Pray to God all the time. But this time there's something new there, here, isn't there? There's a new humility in his prayer. As Samson, first of all, acknowledges God's sovereignty, oh, sovereign God. As he humbly asks God to remember him, please, remember me. As he asks God to strengthen him one last time, Samson is doing what? He is finally exercising faith in God. And he's going to get his strength back. Not because his hair was long again. His hair's already long. And he's running around performing, not able to do anything against the enemy. Now he's going to get his strength back because he has humbled himself before the Lord and asked God for his help. People, there's a lesson here for each and every one of us. You can humble yourself before God, or you can let God do the job for you. Something we've been saying all along in the Samson series. There's an easy way and there's a hard way in life. The easy way is when you humble yourself before the Lord at the beginning by submitting yourself to God and to his ways. The hard way is when you struggle against God and then God has to humble you instead. Proverbs 13 verse 15 says this, good understanding wins favor, but the way of the unfaithful is hard. You know what? Samson chose the hard way. But that did not stop God from fulfilling his purpose. God will fulfill his purpose in your life too. And you can either work with God or you can work against him. But things go so much better when you work with God. And so God fulfilled his purpose in Samson's heart. But then he also fulfilled his purpose in Samson's life. Remember, God's purpose for Samson's life was to deliver Israel from the Philistines. What have we seen throughout the series? Samson spent most of his life hanging out with the Philistines, palling around with the Philistines, pursuing the Philistine women. The only times he ever fought them were either out of selfish motives or out of self-defense. But now he is finally ready to fulfill God's purpose for his life. And Samson knocks down the pillars and he kills more Philistines when he died than while he lived. The Philistines wanted entertainment. Well, guess what? Samson brought the house down, right? Amen. And Samson is finally faithful to God in his death, something that he lacked all his life. God is going to fulfill his purposes with or without us. And God will fulfill his purposes despite our sin and despite the enemy's attacks. Psalm 33 says this, the Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations. It's another wonderful prayer of David in Psalm 138, verse 8. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands. Notice what David says and what he doesn't say here. David does not say, God will fulfill my purpose for my life. Didn't say that, did he? No, he said, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Proverbs 19:21 says this, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. God will fulfill his purposes despite our sin and despite the enemy's attacks. Judges 16, verse 31 closes out this chapter in Samson's story. We read, then his brothers and his father's whole family went down to get him. They brought him back and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the tomb of Manoah, his father. He had led Israel 20 years. When you read that verse, it's done with now, isn't it? Samson's life is over. His legacy is set. He is who he was in Judges 13 through 16, and nothing can change that. He resisted God at every step, and that is part of his story. Samson had a promising beginning, but a tragic ending. And God still fulfilled his purposes in Samson's life, but he had to do it the hard way. When you look at this final chapter in Samson's life, you see some remarkable parallels with the final chapter in Jesus' life. We saw this earlier in the first message in our series, how there are parallels between Samson's birth and Jesus' birth. And this shouldn't surprise us. The judges were what? They were deliverers of Israel. Samson is the 12th and final judge of Israel. And so Samson points forward to Jesus, who would deliver us from all our sins. So what are these parallels? Well, you're looking at them on the screen right now. Both Samson and Jesus were betrayed by a close friend for money. Both of them were handed over to foreign powers. Both were tortured, chained, and publicly mocked. Both were asked to perform for their captors. And both ultimately gained victory over the enemy by their deaths. Samson stretched out his arms, he pushed against those pillars, and he secured victory over the Philistines. Jesus stretched out his arms. He took the nails for you and me and secured victory over sin. So there are these remarkable parallels between Samson and Jesus, but here's one big difference, one huge difference. When Samson was buried, he stayed buried. When Jesus was buried, he rose again on the third day, never to die again. Amen? Samson was a little son. Remember, we learned his name in the first message. Little son is what it meant. You are my sunshine, my little Samson, right? Samson was a little son, and he shone for a brief while. But Jesus is the light of the world, who shines as bright as the sun forever and ever. In many ways, as we've seen, the story of Samson serves as a warning for us. But I want you to look at it a different way this morning. Because Samson's story, like Jesus' story, is ultimately a story of hope. It's the story of a God who never gives up on us, even when we sometimes give up on him. 2 Timothy 2:13 says this, if we are faithless, God will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. And even though Judges 16 closes out the story of Samson in the Old Testament, it's not the last word on Samson's life, not the last word in the Bible. We read from Hebrews 11 earlier, right? And there Samson is listed as what? One of the heroes of the faith. Hebrews 11, verses 32 and 33, we read, what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell you about Gideon. He's a good guy. Barak, good guy. Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised. And so even though Samson really lived a wretched life of sin and disobedience, he is ultimately remembered in the scriptures for his faith in the final moments of his life, when he humbly cried out to God in prayer and he gained the promised victory over the Philistines. Folks, we all leave a legacy in life. What will be yours? How will you be remembered? Psalm 112 says this: "Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commands. Surely he will never be shaken. A righteous man will be remembered forever." And so this morning, what I want you to take away from this is, remember, God is going to fulfill his purposes with or without you. God is sovereign. Nothing stops his plan. Nothing stops his purposes. Not your sin, not the enemy's attacks. And even though your sin may not stop God's purposes, please know that it does affect you. And it affects those around you. And so you can either do things God's way or you can do it the hard way. Those are the only choices. You work with God or you can work against God. But either way, when you breathe your last, your life on earth is over. And at that point, it is too late to change anything you have done. We all leave that legacy. And you can be remembered as a person who loved and served God, or you can be remembered as someone who went their own way. Which legacy will you leave? Let us pray. Well, dear God, we thank you so much for the story of Samson. And Lord, even though there's a lot of cautions, a lot of warnings for us here in his story, I thank you that the last word is a word of hope and faith. Lord, when our faith is in Jesus, Lord Jesus, you are our righteousness. And when we stand before you with all of our sin and failures and all of the wrong things we've done, you will look at us and you will look at Jesus, and then you will look back at us and you will say, "Welcome into my kingdom, my good and faithful servant." And I'll say, "God, I'm not good, I'm not faithful." He's going to say, "Welcome in, my good and faithful servant." God, I thank you that you get the last word on our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.